Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Welcome to the audiobook version of the Holy Bible.
No, you mean the Comedy Nerds podcast.
Right, I always get that too confused.
Because you should listen, you should believe every word in both. I'm Destin Diodato.
I'm Dan McInerney. We're two New York-based comedians who like talking about comedy, which is what we say every week. And this week, Dustin, we have a guest.
Yes, we have Jesse Pop.
Hello, how are you?
How you doing? And I feel like we should be the ones with the pop screen, even though you have it, because every time we say pop, we're going to pop.
Pop gets a pop screen.
Yes, we only got one. We only have one pop screen and sound engineer required that we give it to the guest.
Okay.
And not hog it ourselves.
I will try to make as many pee sounds as I can just to put it to good use.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, my mom was like, whoever the guest was would always get like the biggest piece of chicken.
Yeah.
And I was like, I live here. Why don't I get the biggest piece of chicken? This is crap.
We don't need to impress them.
So, Jesse, point is, I'm mildly annoyed at you.
I'm sorry.
It's a good way to start a relationship. Yeah,
exactly.
Jesse has been described as the funniest comedian in New York City.
Oh, whoa. Really? What? Who's it?
Yeah, totally.
Like, yes, absolutely.
That drunk guy who... Am I remembering this correctly?
I don't know. I guess technically I've been called the best comedian on the circuit.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Best comedian on the circuit, yeah. From some drunk guy who tried to kill himself like that night or something.
Yeah, there's a fella and he had a little, he's a little too much to drink and he wanted it to be known that he enjoyed my comedy, which is fine. Well, I endorse that, I guess, but not the behavior.
But if you can get somebody who's drunk to the point of annoyance to like you as a comedian, that's a pretty good thing, actually, because they hate people.
Yeah, normally people who are drunk at shows don't care for me, but so you got to get one, you know, every once in a while.
Yeah, you know, that's going to definitely help the old ego.
Yeah,
that some random weird alcoholic thought you were awesome.
Right. Right.
Because no random weird alcoholics ever told me that I was awesome. So. No.
One day.
I mean, it's a dream we live for.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of us get there faster than others.
And then you can retire. know that it was all worth it from the beginning because some random douche thought you were funny. But I think you are one of the funniest comedians on the circuit.
Thank you.
And I'm not drunk at all, I don't think.
Yeah, right. I mean, you said you don't drink beer, and you gave me one of your three beers in the fridge.
Yes.
Thank you.
I probably gave you one of Sound Engineer's three beers. But she's fine with that.
She's fine. So, Jesse, welcome.
Thank you.
Our topic this week, everybody, is there's an old cliche that's, you know, you say it's funny because it's true. And our question this week is that necessary that comedy has to be true?
Right, there's even a book called Truth in Comedy.
There is a book called Truth in Comedy.
Right. And most people will tell you that in order to really be a successful comedian, you need to be truthful.
Yeah.
But then that's where they kind of leave it off. So we thought it'd be interesting to talk about what it means, how it differs for different people. Because the reason I got to thinking about it was Louis C.K., funny comedian.
Mm-hmm.
And he is truthful in his points of view, but he is not truthful in what he's actually saying. I doubt he's ever said any of the stuff that he says to his kid. If he did, he'd be the worst father ever. it's clear that there's only so much truth in his comedy. But then I think about my stand-up routines, and I try and only tell the truth. And I'm like, I am probably losing out on a lot of stuff that I could be like, you know, tagging jokes with that never really happened.
Right.
But I'm trying to be all honest, and that's why I'm performing in the back rooms of bars for 15 people.
I think maybe the truth, it's not so much like everything, because I say, well, I think if you claim that, so if you make like something's true but it's not, then that's one thing. But then sometimes you're obviously being silly and making up a joke and people aren't thinking that. I think the truth part is more about just being yourself. And not really so much about. Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with making stuff up, you know. I mean, well, if you're playing it off as this is all these things that I did and it's obviously fake, but I don't think it's okay to be silly and make things up. I think.
Right. Well, I mean, there's also different layers and different definitions of truth. I mean, Maybe Louis C.K. has never said those things to his daughter, but he's probably thought them. And I think Louis C.K. is probably one of the most brutally honest comics. Like, you know, he's definitely talking about stuff from his real life. Now, someone like Dimitri Martin obviously isn't talking about anything personal, but there is still like a weird truth of the stuff that he does, because we've all had those weird, like, you know, strange little thoughts about, you know, things in life and stuff. And so that's also true, but obviously true in a very different way than what Louis C.K. is doing. You know what I mean? And so, I mean, we, you know, like, do most of the stuff that you talk about on stage true? Does it come from, you know, something that happened? Or?
Yeah, well, a lot of my jokes, they start off, I mean, it's something that actually happened to me, but it's more just a jumping off point to do silly jokes. So, if I'm making like it's true, then it's actually true. But then I go off. I'll usually end up making joke. It'll spark an idea of like a silly, fake conversation or just a bit, and that's obviously fake. But it usually springs from stuff that's actually happened to me, or just stuff that I saw, or whatever. But I don't feel there are times when sometimes maybe I'll play the heel a bit, or I'll just kind of goof around where it's not exactly 100% what I think. You know, there's a little hyperbole, or just just being goofy, you know.
How do you feel it differs when you're telling like the full-on truth versus like do you have to lie in order to make things actually funny?
No, I never lie. I'll make things up, but if I make a joke, like I'm trying to think of something, but I don't ever lie, but I do make things up. As far as the joke part, I'm not used to talking about jokes. I don't ever say like, oh, I went to the store and then I said this. And if it's not true, I would never say, make it like I actually said that. But I will do bits where it's obvious that I'm just joking around, you know, or I'll maybe act like something bothers me a little bit more than it actually does. But, you know, I don't know.
Right. Well, you're starting there at the jumping off point.
Like, I'm thinking of one of the jokes that I told. I haven't told it in a while, but it used to be one of my go-to jokes. Was I would talk about the time my apartment got broken into. And I think I may have mentioned this in a previous podcast, but bear with me. Basically, I talk about, you know, how my apartment got broken into, and I started walking around and looking at various things in the apartment that were gone. You know, and obviously, you know, it was like my VCR was gone, my computer was gone. And then as I'm looking around, you know, I noticed a couple of weird things were gone. And ultimately, the punchline is that somebody stole... that I had Cool as Ice on VHS, and somebody stole that.
Yeah.
And it was not my only movie that I owned, but it was the only one that they took.
Yeah.
So criminals went through my apartment and stole Cool as Ice. And, like, you know, whatever. And that, you know, happened.
Right.
You know? Now, I could make that up, but I feel like in order for me to tell that joke, it either has to be true... or I'm not allowed to tell it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but what makes that a joke that by definition, like, you know, that I'm legally obligated to make true versus a throwaway line at the end of something? You know what I mean? Like, couldn't I just make up crazy situations, you know, and then people will just get into it? I mean, I guess other comedians do, but I'm just trying to get a gauge as to, like, what the audience will allow you to exaggerate about.
Well, I mean, I think, first of all, that joke is funny with the implicit suggestion that it is true. Like, if I thought you had just made up that story, it'd be a funny story, but it's far more funnier. Now, obviously, I know you. I know that's a true story. But if I was sitting in the audience, it'd be far more funnier to me if I thought that that had actually happened. You know what I mean? So I don't know if there's some sort of ethical, moral code where you have to... Your story has to be true, but I think... just from a comedy standpoint, that story is a lot funnier if you tell me that it's true.
Right, but I mean, as a comedian, everything I say on stage, I'm trying to pretend is true. You know what I mean? Like, you don't get up there unless you're... I want to say Stephen Wright, but I feel like even Stephen Wright wants you to believe that he's... You know, that he's having these crazy thoughts, that he's had these weird conversations in the real world. But I don't... You know, I mean, I don't feel like any comedian gets up there with the... where he's winking to the audience and saying, this isn't real. Even Louis C.K., you kind of know that he didn't call his daughter an asshole, but he's saying it in a way that, you know, maybe he did.
Right.
You know?
But, I mean, again, and that's an exaggeration, but you sort of imagine that he's thinking that. if he didn't actually say it out loud. He really wanted to say it, you know, and so that's where the comedy comes in. I mean, there's stuff like Stephen Wright has a bit where he walks to his front door and puts the key in the door and the house starts and he drives it around the corner. Now, obviously, that's not true. There's no way that actually happened. But I mean, you know, so that's different than Louis C.K. But is that still a kind of truth?
No.
In the comedy?
No, it's okay. Not. I mean, there's no truth in comedy there. There's
right.
There's just ridiculous concept, and there's that, you know, juxtaposition of two things that, you know, whatever, that makes you laugh. But there's no truth there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know what that means specifically, but there isn't.
Right. But, I mean, is it funnier if you think someone's telling a true story, or is it just a different kind of comedy?
I think it's cooler.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're talking about just using a story as a jumping off point for a joke, that's like one thing. There's a clear difference. Like if someone's setting up the story and then they go off into silly jokes, that's one thing. But then if they're telling a story but acting as if it's true and it's clearly not, then that's kind of where that's kind of like phony, I guess.
Right. But I mean, but is that wrong? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you're completely making something up and pretending like it's true, well, you're a comic. You know what I mean? Yeah. You're on stage trying to make people laugh. I mean, when I watch, you know, Seinfeld, I'm not like, well, he doesn't live in that apartment. This whole thing is ridiculous. Like, obviously, there's a figure.
Well, I mean, sometimes I'll remember a story. I'll remember something that happened to me maybe 6 or 7 years ago, and I'll write a joke about it. But I won't say, this happened to me 6 years ago. I'll just make like it just happened. So that's not exactly lying, but it's not exactly the truth. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's not like, I don't know.
But at a certain point, you know, just say that it happened last week just because it's easier.
Yeah.
Don't set up like, well, I was in college at the time. get to the joke.
I don't always qualify things, but it's usually... I don't usually make things up unless it's the actual joke, you know.
Right.
I was just thinking that one of your jokes is a very good example of that. I was thinking about your joke about your grandmother giving you money.
Oh, my great aunt. Yeah.
Yes.
So yeah, so she sent me the basic gist is she sent me $100 in the mail, and because she had sent $100 to my sisters and my sister and my cousin, they got married, and she's like, my great aunt's like 90 something. She called my mom and said, I'm just going to give Jesse the $100 now because he's not going to get married before he dies, which is 100% true. And then I go into like a bit, which is just me goofing around, but that part is like 100% true. So that like it's a laugh and it's true, but then I also have some jokes on top of it. So that's kind of what.
Yeah. Because I was specifically thinking about the part where you're like, he only goes to like weddings and.
Yeah. Well, like, because the thing is, I've only seen her like seven or eight times. So then. It's like, you know, where does she get off sizing up my chances? And he just, you know, opens up presents and hangs out at funerals. Right. You know, whatever.
But I mean, again, and that's obviously probably a thought that you had, you know, even if it was just like a thought that you had because you were writing a comedy bit.
Right. Yeah.
It's still obviously coming from a true place because you thought of it.
But how much more awesome would it have been if your great aunt had the thought of like complaining to your mother, they're like, yeah, he just opens presents at a funeral. Like, he's a loser. He's never going to meet somebody that way. If that were actually true, that would be the greatest thing ever.
Right. I believe that's called heightening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're taking an idea and you're going to an absurd level with it, and hence comedy happens.
All right, why don't you explain it a little bit more?
I'm trying.
Because that always works out well when you dissect.
I'm trying to explain it as best I can. But so what do we think? Let's see. Do you have anything that's like the Stephen Wright bit that I talked about that's clearly not, that didn't actually happen to you? Or is it mostly, you know, stuff that you... that did happen to you? That's the jumping off point.
Well, I mean, I'll say sometimes I say things that aren't true, but I feel like it's pretty clear that I'm just joking around. Right. You know what I mean? So I can't, it's hard for me to know. Like, well, what's funny to, well, I'll say this. There have been times when maybe my favorite heckle is when I say a joke that's clearly silly and made up, and then some guy in the front row, he'll go, yeah, right. You know, it's like, no, I know. I just made that up. That's like the joke. He thinks I'm actually, you know, trying to shoot my mouth off and be cool. It's like, no, right. that was the joke. Yeah. I didn't actually, I don't claim to, so I don't know. I think.
But I've also been in the situation where I've had weird stuff happen and decided that I couldn't talk about it on stage because it's almost too, like, implausible. You know, like, there would be so much, like, explanation where you're just like, this situation's too crazy. Right. So, you know, I can't even share it because it doesn't make sense to the rest of the world.
Yeah, I find, like, the best true things that make for good comedy aren't always that funny on their own. Like, I have, you know, stories that I'll tell my friends, but I've never done on stage because they're funny on their own, and there's no way for you to really top it or turn it into a bit, you know? Right. It's just sort of, it comes to a point where it's almost just like you're just sharing an anecdote and it's not exactly a joke. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's hard to explain, but yeah, I don't know. I feel like truth in comedy sometimes turns into, it gets twisted into, you have to be 100% just like, or like in your face or like outrageous, and it gets turned into like thinking like jokes or silliness is kind of like shallow or like avoiding talking about what's really, you know,
right.
I don't know.
Right. I'm thinking about like Bobcat Goldthwait. Like at one point he was somewhat successful, you know, or even like a Howie Mandel at a certain point were really successful stand-up comedians. And there was not a lot of, especially with Bobcat, there was not any truth there. It was just this off-the-wall character that had nothing to do with anything. And yet it was successful, and it got people involved. And I'm trying to figure out, like, was there a truth there that I don't see? You know?
I mean, is that really true for Bobcat Goldthwait? I mean, I'm familiar with some of his stuff, and it was stuff that seemed, you know, again, it was some kernel of truth. This is a bit I really like, which is actually funny because it is sort of that, like, in-your-face. Like, he talks about he had his gallbladder out, and they had to take a stool sample. And he describes how he thought there'd be some sort of medical procedure and tool involved. And, in fact, he just bent over, and the doctor just stuck his hand up his ass and pulled out a piece of crap. And, you know, and obviously, and then the story gets more and more ridiculous as it goes along. But you're sort of imagining that, you know, that part of it was true. And I think it's, you know, again, I'm sort of thinking about how certain jokes are funny if you think that they're true. But then there's other jokes, like, I can't remember his name right now. Who's the guy with the world champion hat on?
Judah Friedlander.
Thank you. His whole stand-up is about, like, he gets on stage and starts talking about, like, these things he's obviously has not done. You know, it's like, I bench press 1,000 pounds underwater, and it just gets more and more ridiculous. So it's funny because you know that that's in no way true.
Yeah.
So, and then there's a weird grammar of, here's the beginning part of my joke, the setup, which you think is, you know, which is supposed to be true, and then I'm going to jump off there and, you know, and tell you the not true part, the part that's the punchline of the joke.
Okay, but all that stuff works.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but when you see the successful comedians age, I feel like they all move over away from jokes to telling true life stories. You know what I mean? Like, it's rare that you see a comedian get older and get, other than whatchamacallit? The guy who played Mork.
Robin Williams.
Other than Robin Williams, it's odd that you that you get older and jokier.
I'm sorry, real quick. You jump to Mork. Of all the things that Robin Williams has done in his life, you're going back to 77 for that? Not even like Bicentennial Man?
Jack. He was in the movie Jack. Francis Ford Coppola.
Who goes to Bicentennial Man?
Well,
first?
I'm saying, but I would go to that before Mork.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe more people know him from Bicentennial Man than Mork?
No, but I think I would say, like, I don't know, Patch Adams or something.
I'm never going to go to Patch Adams or Bicentennial Man.
Good Morning
Jacob
Vietnam.
The Liar.
Yeah. Jacob the Liar is a good one.
I'm comfortable with Mork.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
My point is that, like, is there something to that truth in comedy where we're all just sort of faking it until we can get older and have the life experiences to actually be able to pull it off?
I don't see jokes as, like, embryonic to storytelling or, like, a precursor. I don't see it as lesser. Well, look at people like, you know, like Woody Allen or, like, Albert Brooks, or, like, when Bob Odenkirk did stand-up. But, like, there's these, like, bits that were clearly not true.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But they're super duper funny. And it's not, I mean, they might not be, but they're clearly made up. They're not passing them off as, you know, no one actually thinks Woody Allen went to a party, you know, dressed up as a moose and got lost in the, you know, that famous bit. But I just don't see it. I don't see, like, making stuff up necessarily as a cop-out as long as you're pretending that it's made up, you know?
Right.
But, okay, but even, but if you're looking at Woody Allen now, like, even his movies compared to what they used to be, Woody Allen's movies are much more, I don't know if the word sophisticated is right, but they're much more based on some sort of, like, real-life emotion versus, like, you know, versus the early stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Bananas or whatever.
Take the money and run.
Yeah, like so. Yeah, like those were all much more fantastical. And now that he's older, he's telling stories where there's genuine emotion, genuine feeling. You know, so I don't know that jokes are necessarily the beginnings of comedy or whatever. But I feel like as people progress as comedians, they tend to move more towards things that are honest.
Right.
Versus things that are premising.
I'll give it, well, example, Woody Allen example. Like, you ever seen Sweet and Lowdown?
Yeah.
Which is actually, like, kind of a, ultimately kind of like a tragic, sad movie, but throughout there's a lot of really funny, silly jokes. You know what I mean? You can have, it's, I don't feel like it's one or the other. Like, I feel like you can be silly and not necessarily make it like, you know, your act be like your autobiography, but. Because even Joe, even like, say, Bill Cosby, who's doing all like monologue stuff, there's still hard actual jokes mixed in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no.
And just and like a joke could be sort of silly and mostly made up, but there's still some truth and some a little like a story arc involved. So I think it's mostly just different gears and not, I don't know if that makes any sense. Is that...
No, I mean, I'm not saying that you can't be. I'm not saying that they're all serious and about, you know, like death.
No. I definitely see what you're saying, though. I just feel like maybe, because not every comic, I don't know. I think it's more of a, it's just a more of a general style thing and not necessarily,
But have you seen anybody get wackier as they progress in their comedy? Don't people generally tend to get more honest?
Well, like George Carlin, towards the end, was doing, like, he would do the story, but he also would do, like, some pretty shticky, like, fart and booger jokes. Like, yeah, I saw his last bit. He was like, "You ever put your boogers on eBay?" Or, yeah. And I was like, "Oh, what are you talking about?"
That's also going to happen when you have a special like, 3 months.
Right.
You
know? I mean,
he was doing HBO Presents open, as an open mic half the time.
Yeah. I mean, I have to say, as he gets older, Gallagher's Watermelon Smashing has really become autobiographical. You can really tell that he's trying to smash away his pain as much as get the first three rows wet. I mean, it's really, you can see it. You can see the pain in the swings.
Right. The couch has gotten a little bit smaller.
Yeah. Right. That's what I'm saying.
That he's roller skating on.
When he rides in on a giant bicycle, you can see that it's a metaphor for his crumbling marriage.
Hey, that's all I'm saying. Thank you for proving my point. All right. We're going to take a break.
Yes.
We'll be right back and talk more about truth and comedy and all that with our guest Jesse Pop.
Oh yeah, that's me.
Do you have a question or topic you would like to hear Dan and Dustin discuss? Send us an email to info@thecomedynerds.com or stop by the site and click contact us at the top of the page. We look forward to hearing from you at thecomedynerds.com.
We're back with our guest Jesse Pop.
Hello.
I hope you guys enjoyed that break.
Yes, I'm looking forward to actually hearing back to this episode because you have a very soothing voice.
Oh, do I?
Yeah.
Oh,
you. Yeah. You have a great...
I think it's from my days of working customer service. I got my, "Hello, this is Jesse. How can I help you today?"
Well, Jesse, I was... Oh, I'm... Yeah. You got me for a second. I was going to tell you.
Have you considered doing... Is it easy listening radio?
I've never thought about it. Maybe I should. Maybe I can get into the... late night pillow talk DJ.
You could, man. You could.
I would absolutely listen to some free form jazz that you got going on.
That was Against All Odds by Phil Collins.
All right. Let's take a call.
I remember there was this one comedian. I forget his name now. But he had previously been an announcer at a strip club.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
And he didn't really even have a joke about it. He just went into the voice. And it was so... the voice, like, you know, they're like, let's welcome Daisy to the stage, you know, and it just killed every time. And it was just doing that voice because he had, like, because every guy in the place was like, yes. They just ship in one dude to do a voice, and it must be that guy. And then it made you think about strippers, and therefore you were already in a good place.
Mm-hmm. Right. I like that there's, like, a community of strip club announcers who are, like, passing down from, like, all right, now, there's sort of an oral tradition learned that every strip club announcer has the same kind of a voice when he welcomes Daisy to the stage. So we're talking about truth and comedy.
Yes.
And did you want to say something about it before I jumped onto my...
No, jump into whatever craziness you have in
front of you. Well, I was just sort of... we were sort of talking about, you know... So there's a truth in comedy of, like, this actually happened to me. Mm-hmm. And then there's the truth in comedy of, this is who I am. You know what I mean? And so sometimes it takes you a while to find your voice, you know, the thing that you want to talk about. And so, you know, it, and I think the audience can tell that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So there's a reason why Stephen Wright can tell the jokes that he tells and Louis C.K. can tell the jokes that he tells. And they both work because that's the way Stephen Wright probably is, and that's the way Louis C.K. probably is. And it's definitely an exaggeration and a distillation of who they are. But, you know, Louis C.K. can't do Stephen Wright's jokes, and vice versa. Right. Although, wasn't there somebody who was it? With Stephen Wright and Chris Rock switched sets. I forget why they did that.
Yeah, and it worked a lot better for Stephen Wright.
Yeah, Stephen Wright killed telling Chris Rock jokes, and Chris Rock bombed telling Stephen Wright jokes, which I don't know what that means. Other than the fact you're just hearing Stephen Wright's voice telling Chris Rock's angry
jokes. Yeah, it's like
jokes.
Christopher Walken can read anything in the world, and it's still Christopher Walken reading it.
Right,
so it's,
and it's still funny.
Yeah.
But
I think, like, we're talking about, like, there are certain things that, whether or not it's a joke or not, are just somewhat unbelievable. In the sense of, like, if I was in some sort of fight situation,
right,
and I said, and then I punched the guy or whatever, and people were like, no, you didn't. You're weak.
Yeah.
Look at you. You didn't punch anybody.
Right.
You know? Whereas you could say that because you are stronger than I am.
That's true.
Yeah.
I have punched
people. But I am wittier and better looking than you.
Why'd you go and punch people? No, just kidding. there's obviously a difference between, like, lying and joking. I just feel like... you know, I've put almost no real thought into formulating, you know, what, you know, people like my voice or what I just get on stage and I try to think up jokes, and then slowly over time it turned into whatever it was. That's who I think the funniest people are. They don't try to figure it out, or maybe I'm going to talk about this stuff and then they go that way. Mm-hmm. Like, the funniest people are just being themselves and doing what they think is funny, and then it turns out to connect to people. You know what I mean? I mean, for better or worse, you just have to be yourself, because if you try to guess, you're probably going to guess wrong. Like, the times when I tried, you know, early on, I was like, I got to figure out how to work this club or get this kind of crowd to work. Whenever I tried to guess, it never worked. You know, whenever I just did what I wanted to do, that's when it started working. So I think there's sort of, if you become self-conscious, it gums up the works, and you just have to ultimately just...
Right. But do you find, like, one of the things that I worry about for myself, and I could see a situation of you falling into as well, is that you and I, stand-up-wise, are both average white dudes. You know what I mean? Yeah. And there's a lot of us, you know?
Yeah.
So if you just get up there and tell personal stories about your life, the odds of... you know, a network exec seeing you, you know, or some sort of scout seeing you going, okay, well, you're funny, but how do I sell you? You're average white dude. So you're almost forced, if you want to succeed, to give yourself a gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
But then that takes you away from your truth, but it makes you economically viable. You know what I mean? How do you battle that? Because I don't want to be some sort of, you know, crazy caricature of something like that. But I feel like I don't stand a chance against... 7,000 other, way more than 7,000 other, like, average white dudes.
Well, like, a lot of times a business is about, you know, branding or whatever. You have to be this type of, like, either, like, you know, the salty old broad or the crazy guy or something. But I don't even really talk. I don't talk about myself all that, like, my feelings or about my background. I just tell jokes, really. So I never really, I mean, maybe someone, yeah, I mean, the truth is I'm like a 32-year-old white guy from Michigan, so there's nothing really interesting in a, from a marketing standpoint, but I mean, what am I going to do? I just do whatever I do, and I mean, like, say if my whole act was like, I'm a white guy from Michigan, then it would be boring, but, you know, if I do jokes, you know, I can't...
What's the deal with harsh winters?
Yeah.
Right?
Eastern time zone.
Right?
But, you know, so you can't really, so that, you know, you just gotta be funny, I guess. I don't even know. But I'm not one to speak. I have no concept of how the business even works, so I might be going down the wrong path.
Now, you said, you know, you didn't have a lot of conscious thought into your persona,
the
kind of jokes you tell. But looking back, especially like when you first started, do you look back and go, oh yeah, I could never tell that joke now? Or that was definitely off target from what I do now.
Yeah, you know? Well, I can definitely... Well, it's funny. I just actually listened to some old tapes, and there's some stuff that's definitely like a little green, a little clunky, but, you know, I don't know. I think I probably would never do that joke again. Like when I did Premium Blend, there's jokes I would never do again in a million years. I don't even remember how they go. I just went so when people tell me they saw it, I'm like, oh, Jesus, like, I don't even want to, but yeah, you know,
but,
I mean,
but
just,
those are the jokes that got you on TV, you
yeah,
know what I mean?
Yeah. So, like, but like that... yeah, well, it's weird. I think the point is to keep getting better, and so you look back at yourself X amount of months or years ago, and you go, oh, that guy sucked, you know, and which is nothing to, that's what you're supposed to do, you know,
right.
I don't know. So, yeah, there's, well, I mean, there are things that I can't do now because there are jokes about, you know, being a little bit younger or living, you know, in some neighborhood or whatever, that I just, like, I can't, I'm not going to go to Michigan. If I go on the road back to, you know, Michigan, there's jokes I can't do that I can do here because they're about, you know, New York. That doesn't make it phony. It just isn't going to work. You know what
right,
I mean?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I have no, yeah.
So moving along.
Yeah.
I personally find that, if a movie or a television show or something has more of a truth to it, it's usually going to last longer and be relevant longer.
What about Airplane? Okay. Bam, you just lost. Mm-hmm. I just won. Airplane, suck it.
The funny thing is that I actually...
Ghostbusters, Groundhog
Wait,
Day.
Wait, stop.
What?
Hold up, no, I actually was going to...
I'm sorry, did you just lose too much?
No, it's actually funny you say that, because actually that was going to be my... Now, of course, there's always Airplane, which disproves my theory, but I actually don't know if Ghostbusters and Groundhog Day are... Yeah.
We should use other examples. We use Ghostbusters and Groundhog Day for every example.
Well, they're awesome movies. But they have a layer of truth to them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will admit that the fact that they're both very funny probably has more to do with the fact that they're still around today and people still watch them today than the fact that, you know, I don't know, there's some underlying truth to starting your own business or something crazy Ghostbusters. But I mean...
Because that's what Ghostbusters was about.
No, but that's what
Small businesses.
But that's what I mean.
That was how they pitched it.
But there is like a baseline truth of that. Of, you know, well, instead of opening a bakery, what if you busted ghosts, you know, in your small business? And that's why it's a crazy comedy. But there's still that, you know... It wasn't like they just immediately started, you know, having a great business. You have to go through the part where they were on their last dollar, because everyone's been there, and you know, and then you get that elation of, you know, now you're doing well, and all of a sudden they're busting ghosts. Okay, maybe
I feel like we saw too much relevance in two different things.
My metaphor is falling apart. But yeah, I mean, like, you know, a movie like Airplane maybe doesn't, you know, disproves my theory to some point. Airplane's also really funny.
Okay, well,
so that's why.
Give me an example of a movie where you think that does hold true.
Well, I mean, that's the kind of comedy that I like, is stuff that's a little
more... So, give me an example of a movie that is honest and true and a comedy that works. That's not Groundhog Day.
Wow.
Because Groundhog Day is about a person repeating the same day over and over again, and that's not true.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's also, I feel like, the idea of... it's because sometimes people feel like they're stuck in a rut, and instead of breaking out of that rut, he found some greatness in it, which I think is a good lesson for life. And I swear to God, that's true, and I'm not just making that up. I really do think that's...
No, I'm impressed. I didn't think you thought that deeply into the movie.
Yeah, I think that's what that movie's...
So point for you, even though I have 15 from before, but still, good. You're battling back. I'm proud of you.
I mean, I think that's what that movie's about, that instead of sometimes instead of fighting the rut that you're in, try to make it work for you. And I think that's a real truth.
And you thought that's where you got the laughs from.
But I mean, but that's what holds the movie together. Because then you take a movie like, I don't know, you know.
Right, but in that case,
Joe Dirt, which is just a collection of jokes. And when I watched it, I laughed. But nobody's going to remember that movie in 15
Joe
years.
Dirt is about finding your place in the world. No matter what outside people say about you, you know what's true in your heart, and you do what you can, and hopefully people will love you for it.
Mm. All right, well, then I take it back. It was a very true movie about a guy who...
I'm just saying that you can apply a heartfelt storyline to both of those movies in the same way.
Right, yeah. But I also think Joe Dirt is just a random collection of jokes and that goes from scene to scene without any real story.
I thought parts of it were heartbreaking.
All right, fair enough. Well, then I take it back.
When he calls the girl and he's like, I haven't told him the sad part of the story yet. And we know that really Kid Rock was just screwing over his whole life the whole time. It was, you know.
I've actually never seen Joe Dirt.
Really? You've missed out on
a
classic.
I just ruined part of it for you. I'm sorry.
You've missed out on a classic, apparently.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I thought it was a terrible movie.
Do you get Comedy Central during the day?
Do I get it during the day?
Yes.
Because
it's on.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I've seen it. I've been to Comedy Central when it was on, but I've always changed the channel.
Okay.
No offense to Joe Dirt. I'm just...
Well, you've missed a heartwarming tale.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm sure I'll get around to it eventually. I just got a few more things I got to do.
You missed the comedy debut of Kid Rock.
Oh.
I'm sorry to upset you.
Coming from Michigan, I've had my fill of Kid Rock. So
he's as good as of an actor as he is a rapper. So take that for what it for what it's
Who would have thought he'd still exist?
Mm.
Like when he first came out, I never would have thought he would.
Well, he started off as sort of a novelty rapper. Like early 90s, like when I was in junior high, he had like the super high like Kid and Play haircut, and he had like tapes that he would sell, and he was just a screwball. And then all of a sudden he got big as Kid Rock. I thought he was done. And
right.
then he got big on the national scene, and now he's this, you know, what's he called, the American Badass, I guess.
So you knew him when he this is way off topic, but how is he like the Southern rapper when he came from Michigan?
Yeah, and he also came from a wealthy part of Michigan and pretends that he's from a trailer park.
Right, he's from a trailer park, and
he grew up pretty rich, but you know, bless his heart. I don't. Yeah, whatever.
Perhaps you don't need truth in rap music? Is that maybe what we're learning here? That if I can bring it back around, because in his latest song, he's like, we sang Sweet Home Alabama.
Yeah.
All summer long. And I'm like, first of all, that song is terrible.
Yeah.
But second of all, and I'm like, you grew up in Michigan. Like you're from, you're supposedly from Detroit, although I guess he's from outside Detroit.
I believe he's from Ortonville, which.
No, no, I'm going to keep talking about Kid Rock.
Yeah.
And also, just so you know, that Kid Rock will be around as long as people are in the military.
Okay.
Because they love him.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get letters on that one.
Why?
No, I wish we got letters on that. We only get letters when I make fun of Middle America.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Which we honestly do get a lot of crap about that. Okay, but that made me think of when we're talking about truth in comedy, the most successful comedian in the world today.
Yes.
And we've spoken about him before.
Yeah.
Larry the Cable Guy.
Mm.
There is no truth in Larry the Cable Guy, not in his personality, not in the things that he says. Apparently, it is important to get her done sometimes, but I don't think that qualifies as truth in comedy.
Right.
And yet, he, by ignoring that rule altogether, has become the most successful comedian in the world.
I want to say this. Maybe you can be a flash in the pan that way, but I think if you want to endure for a long time, like people are going to be listening to George Carlin, at least the early stuff, like for generations for now, because, and I've said this before, Andrew Dice Clay used to sell out the Garden,
mm-hmm.
and now, you know, he's probably performing for 50
but
people.
he had a couple of heyday years. Larry the Cable Guy's been going at it for a little while now. I mean, he's not like new to the scene. Like he's, you know,
but you don't think he's gonna fade away? Well, the other thing is, and we're gonna get letters, but I feel like he has some kind of truth that speaks to the people who like him, and I'm definitely not in that demographic, and so I don't enjoy it. But he does speak some kind of a truth that people go, I recognize what he's talking about, even though it's totally made up. Even though he is whatever his real name is, and he used to perform in khakis and a skinny tie in the 80s.
Dan Whitney.
Dan Whitney, and he found this persona. the things that he's saying and the character he's playing obviously speaks to these people.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not exactly a Larry the Cable Guy fan, but I also don't have a problem with someone playing a character like a lot of comedians have played, you know, a character. Or I mean, so when you say true, do you mean like being disingenuous or just being like silly and not necessarily based on your real life? Like, is it like a virtue to not? I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, it to me, it's, you know, like we're talking about your comedy being true to the person who you are, or whatever.
Yeah, right.
But I mean, even if you're saying that there's a truth, like he's created a character and developed a persona around it or whatever like that. But still, even his jokes are based not in like the truth of a real life situation. They're all based on over exaggerations of hickish beliefs and stuff like that. That, you know, like there isn't truth to the things that he's saying. There isn't truth to the personality that he is. So where is the truth in him as a comedian?
I mean, I don't know Larry the Cable Guy's act all that well, but I mean, if you're saying he's talking about like beliefs that, you know, someone like that might have, I mean, the person in the audience might be like, oh yeah, my dad says that, you know, oh, my uncle, I heard my uncle say that one time. Like, he believes that to be true. I mean, maybe that's where the truth is coming from. I don't know. I mean, it's because the other thing I think I was thinking about was, you know, we mentioned the book Truth in Comedy, which is actually about improv. Mm-hmm. And improv, there's definitely that element of truth to it, you know, but like a lot of times when I'm doing improv, it's like I'm a mermaid who's, you know, hunting seahorses or whatever. Like, obviously there's nothing true in that, but always the scene is supposed to be about, you know, the true relationship. So if I'm fighting with my mermaid wife, I'm playing the same beats that I do when I fight with my real wife, even though in this scene we're mermaids or we're on the moon or whatever it is. So there's that layer of truth underneath all the craziness, because, I mean, very rarely in an improv scene are you, you know, just a dude living in the city and having a fight with your wife. You're, you know, whatever, on a spaceship, or you're two aliens from Mars, or...
Well, that's not true.
Right. That part of it isn't true, but you know, the relationship part is true.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, I mean, I'm just saying that I feel like even if you're going to be, like, if you're going to be a halfway decent comedian, then you should either have unbelievably good jokes or speak to the human condition in a way that people can relate to it. Hopefully, both.
Right.
And I feel like, like, people can get very successful by without doing those things. That's the reason I bring up Larry the Cable Guy, is because I don't feel like he speaks to the human condition. And I, you know what I mean? Like, so I just, and they're not good jokes. So I can't figure out how something that we all can kind of agree is an important part of comedy.
Right.
The one of the best examples is the guy who's doing it the best.
I mean, I guess...
I mean, I don't think he's doing it the best. You know what I mean?
Hmm. Right. I have to feel like he's saying something to his audience. I don't know what it is. I'm not... It doesn't speak to me. But, I mean,
feel like the minute you have a catchphrase, though, then you're just a caricature, you know? I mean, like...
Right.
The minute you can say, get her done at the end of everything that you say...
Right.
...just shows that you're not real.
Yeah, that's pretty funny, though. I mean, get her done. I mean, you can see where the comedy is coming from. Yeah, I don't know.
And I support You Might Be a Redneck. I'm fine with You Might Be a Redneck.
Right.
But get her done doesn't mean anything. It does, like, it's not...
It means complete all tasks.
Yeah.
That you.
I just don't think it's applicable every day.
I think what you're not understanding is Larry the Cable Guy is less a comedian and more of a motivational speaker. Like, people walk out of there being like, yeah, I have to get my life done.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you for explaining.
Awaken the giant within.
Yeah.
I'm
not the first person to point this out, but he's also not really a cable guy. Like, he walks around in hunting gear.
Yeah.
Like, I've had cable guys come to my house. They're dressed in, like, blue overalls, and they carry wires.
We did point out that it's Larry the Cable Guy, health inspector.
Yeah.
It's like, well, are you a health inspector or are you a cable guy? I didn't see you cable guying in the movie at all.
Right.
But Cedric is always entertaining.
He is, well. I mean, that's in his blood. He can't not be an entertainer. It's in his blood and in his name. Yeah. Hey, Jesse, what's up?
Yeah.
And on that note, I believe Dan feels we have run out of topic.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, everything I say, you shoot down.
I'm not shooting it all down.
No, you're daring me.
I'm not shooting it down. I'm just saying that you didn't think through all your plot points and that that
plot
I won.
Plot points? Yeah. I was just throwing stuff out there. No, I mean, I don't know. Again, I feel like they're in everything you're doing, you can't help but not have a baseline of truth in your comedy. You know what I mean? Like, there has to be something there. I don't know. Like, I think if you were like, hey, you know how when you're, you know, I don't know, flying through the air, birds get in your mouth? Like, you just be like, what? That doesn't make any... I have no idea what you're talking about. Like, there has to be something to
I mean, there's something more to comedy than just jokes. Like, people have to like you or feel like they can relate to you. But I also, I'm not always interested. I mean, if someone talks about their life or tells a story and it's funny, then that's great. But I'm not interested in its own right to know about the person necessarily. Like, if someone's telling a bunch of funny jokes, I'm not like, how many kids do they have? Who'd they vote for? You know what I mean? I'm not like, he's copping out, you know? If it's funny, it's funny. Like, a lot of people are, they do super silly stuff. And it's clearly a joke, and it's funny. There are people who talk about their past or their life or their problems, and it's also very, very funny. It's all a matter of style, and I think, there are comedians who would like there are comedians who tell stories and stuff and talk about themselves that are funny. But if I tried to do that, it would be ridiculous because that's not the kind of person that I am. Just like if someone else tried to do, like, you know, silly jokes, they might look stupid. You know what I mean? So it's all about being yourself and sticking to your guns and trying to keep getting better. I think if there's a truth in comedy, it's just that. Just always trying to be funny and not get bogged down with what might make people like you. You know what I mean?
I mean, speaking of Larry the Cable Guy,
we were supposed to end on that note because that was meaningful. Because somebody's crying at home right now. No, that.
They better be.
And you just jumped in and shocked them back into, you know.
Well, I was going to say was, if you have the choice between being Larry the Cable Guy or Louis C.K. or Chris Rock, I'm just thinking people who are very truthful in their comedy to one degree or another. I mean, do you think that makes someone like Louis C.K. just a better comic? Not funnier, but just a better comic that he's coming from a true place. Well, and when you walk away, you feel like, you know something a little bit more about life. Seen him.
Yeah, back in the olden days, Louis C.K. did more like high concept, silly stuff, and that was super funny too, you know? To me personally, I don't see as one.
Pootie Tang.
Yeah, I don't see one as better than the other. It's just the same thing in different gears, you know? If he. I don't know. It's hard for me to.
But I mean, I feel like I'm always drawn more towards the truthful comedy and like the people who are telling stuff from their life. But if something's really funny, you know, then it's really funny.
Yeah.
I mean, I loved Stephen Wright. And again, nothing he says is true. And I love the movie Airplane. And nothing in there, you know, I've never watched Airplane to be like, yeah, that is the way life is. Mm-hmm. Good job, Zucker Brothers. You said something to me. Like, I mean, you know, in the end of the day, funny is funny. So, you know. But I think most comedy comes out of truth to one degree or another. I don't think you can. I don't think you can fake it. I think it's really hard to fake it. Even Larry the Cable Guy, it's coming from a place because it's too hard to fake it. Dustin saying no.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, like imagined or made up isn't necessarily fake, but like, not that I'm. I mean, I don't want this. I think because I'm not really a fan of Larry the Cable Guy, but I mean, so I don't want that to be my example of. But look at somebody like. I'm trying to think of a good example. Norm MacDonald is like totally silly, not, you know, generally opening up, you know, but it's still very funny. Or like, you know, or look at Andy Kaufman did nothing but fake characters, and like no one thought he was a foreign man who sang Mighty Mouse. But there was still some, I guess, what you would call truth in it. But I don't know.
It was true.
Yeah. He was doing what he wanted to do.
Yeah, it was true to him, and he was sort of, I hate to say turn the mirror on the audience because it's such a cliche, but that's what he was doing, saying, you know, it was sort of a truth that that he was so like, what are you going to do about it? Yeah. Yeah. You know, like, I'm basically just not even doing comedy up here.
Yeah, you know, and my opinion on
what are you going to do? I know your opinion.
We had a whole argument, and I say Andy Kaufman's a performance artist, not a comedian.
Yeah.
And I think he was hilarious and therefore a comedian.
All right,
good enough.
All right. Anyway,
Dustin's like, I don't want to get into it again.
Yeah, no, we're out of time. So you can see our guest, Mr. Jesse Pub, every Sunday at Beauty Bar?
At Beauty Bar. I run the show with Mr. Vince Averill Sunday nights at 9 o'clock. It's free. Usually have a few funny comics, cheap beers, and also around town most.
Is there a website they can check you out on?
JessePop.com. Rarely updated, but
we will link to it.
Sweet,
as we do.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No. Thanks for having me. I hope we got to the truth.
I think we did. I feel like we should all laugh and freeze.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
And the credits roll.
Which might lose something on an audio podcast.
Yeah.
But
but the people who really know exactly what we're doing.
We'll just whisper.
Yeah.
We're frozen. We're
still frozen.
We're not moving. All right. Well, Jesse, thank you so much for being on.
Yeah.
Go to our website, which is thecomedynerds.com, where we'll have a link to Jesse's website, and also you can comment on past episodes.
Yes. And in a couple of weeks, we'll be at Sketchfest NYC 2009 interviewing performers and stuff like that. We'll be there all three nights of the festival. So remember to check that out. And if you're at the festival, which I encourage you to go to.
Absolutely.
It's gonna be great. Stop by and say hi.
Yeah. It's gonna be great. Stop by, and if you can't be there,
listen to the podcast.
Listen to the podcast, and we'll have lots of great stuff.
Yes,
there.
every single day, podcasting from the theater.
Great. All right. All right. Jesse, thank you again.
All right, yes. Thanks. Bye.
And that's our show.
All right. Bye.
Goodbye.
See you later.
You've been listening to The Comedy Nerds. If you have any questions or comments, please email us at info@thecomedynerds.com. Check out our website at thecomedynerds.com, where you can comment on any past episodes. And if you enjoyed this show, please write a review in iTunes and tell the world how awesome we are. For Dustin and myself, thank you for listening.